Welcome, everyone, to our ICANN 59 planning call. This is the first formal call since our introductory meeting in Copenhagen, where we talked about the agenda and some of the materials that will also be presented today. Again, as is our custom, the call will be recorded and transcribed for note-taking purposes. We shared the transcript of the last Copenhagen discussion with you on the SOAC list. I can remind you of that, and we'll make sure we send that around to you so you can share that with others who are involved. And so to that extent, we have 60 minutes for this call. We will try to be prompt on that, so to respect your schedules. You see the agenda to the right in the box. I am finishing up my welcome and introduction. We'll have some remarks from Sally Custerton, an update on the ICANN 59 discussions in Copenhagen from Nick Tommaso, the schedule production and timeline process review by Tanzanika King, including the block schedule, some of the current requests that are going forward, then a procedures for processing the forms for the cross-community discussions at the topic groups, any other business, and then some closing remarks and reminder of the next call. With agreement and no objection, I would like to proceed to the agenda. And if indeed Sally is available, we will have her go there. If not, we'll go to Nick.
Well, I've been communicating with Sally. She's having trouble getting into the Adigo room. So
I'm on the Adobe room.
So I go. Oh, thank you, Sally.
Okay, sorry about the delay.
I turn it over to Sally. Thank you. Please go ahead, Sally. Sally, we cannot hear you.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank you. Please go
sorry,
ahead.
I apologize for my technical snafu today. Thank you all for coming on the call, and thank you all for agreeing to continue to participate in this exercise. It really is helpful for us as a staff group to be able to use you as a sounding board, periodic help with problem solving, and also for us as staff to get as much input as we possibly can from you as those that are participating in the meeting, to make sure that we are doing the very best we can to resolve the issues that we inevitably have as a group of people, the limits and of the laws of physics, and some of the logistical constraints that we have at meetings are always going to be with us. And there is no question in our minds and in my mind that working with you is improving that process. And one example I wanted to give you, we're going to publish, or I think we have already published this week, the results of the ICANN 58 meeting survey. And one of the things that was quite clear from the feedback on this survey is that although there are still clearly issues of conflict on the agenda, that is dramatically better than it was in Hyderabad. And equally, we saw very little comment about these issues in the public forum, whereas many of you who are in Hyderabad will know that we saw extensive commentary about this in the public forum. So I wanted to kind of share that feedback, and I think many thanks to you for the hard work that you put in to help us with the issue adjusting conflicts and agreeing how to do this in the run-up to the Copenhagen meeting, because it's made a big difference. So with that, I would very much thank you, continue to appreciate your support, and to hope that we will continue in this spirit of collaboration and participation. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you very much, Sally. I'll now turn it over to Nick to talk about number three on the agenda, the update of discussions we had in Copenhagen. Nick, the floor is yours.
Thank you, David, and thank you to everyone for participating in this call. As Sally mentioned, it's very important to us. I thought I would just take you through a couple of actions we've taken in reaction to the comments you made in Copenhagen and then on list as we got closer to this meeting. First is we extended the deadline for submission of funded traveler names by a week. Paul had requested that, and we were able to do that with I Can't Travel. We've taken a close look at outreach, and under the outreach umbrella, we have made provisions for ALAC to start their sessions at 8 a.m., allowing time for the ALSs and newcomers at Aziz's request. We made provisions for an 8 o'clock start for NCSG at the Pani's request for their outreach. We've made note that CCNSO Tech Day is, in fact, outreach, and it shows that way on the agenda. Thank you, Katrina. And we've also made provisions to conduct outreach sessions for the local community every morning based on regional demand, as well as requests from all of you. And we'll be doing that in a dedicated meeting room. We'll be looking to Pierre to help us to identify candidates in and around the region who would participate in those days, in those morning sessions. We made note of the fact that there was some concern expressed, and specifically by Greg and Leon, about the official adhering to the official meeting dates. Now we for Greg and Leon, we have made provision for the CCWG meeting to meet on Sunday, and that's confirmed. We have not yet received any other requests for earlier or late sessions, although we really do anticipate getting some. And based on the feedback specifically from Feliz and James, we will deny all of those requests because they will be outside of the meeting dates. They will not be announced particularly early since we're already closing in on the Johannesburg meeting. And we didn't want to exclude people from participating, to your point, who would want to. Tanzania is now going to show you how outreach lays out in the meeting schedule. And we'll ask for your input on the cross-community sessions that were discussed in Copenhagen and on list. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Nick, and hello, everybody. If we can go to, I see we're already going there, to pull up the block schedule. Let's go ahead and skip down here. So in looking at this, first I'll briefly go over some of the changes I made to address the comments that you made when we last met. The start time in the morning has been revised so that we no longer have that 9:15 start. It officially starts at 9. However, as Nick mentioned, we've also added an hour of time from 8 to 9 in the morning to accommodate both known requests for outreach activities as well as any requests you might have as we move forward with the scheduling process. I moved the block schedule to a layout similar to what we used in Helsinki so that I can send this to you all in Excel and you can use it as a template to plan your schedule if you wish. There's also, as you all know, still some debate as to what the number of non-conflicted sessions running in the afternoons should look like. As you know, we've had two cross-community sessions every afternoon for a total of 8 non-conflicted blocks in Helsinki. In order to show you another option here, what we've done is taken that first block in the afternoon and made it cross-community, a regular cross-community block, and the second block a non-conflicted block. Now, this is just, again, another option if you wanted to reduce the 8 non-conflicted blocks to 4. This would be one way that you could do it. But with that in mind, I would like to see if I can get some input from this group on the topics that have already been submitted for discussion, not submitted in the formal manner, but they've been in the chat and list, so I'm going to scroll back up here to this preliminary submissions for CCD topics list. And I know this is still wavering. There's some debate as to which ones need 90 minutes versus two 90-minute blocks, and in some cases 3 hours. But right now, the ones we're aware of are the new GTLD subsequent procedures, PDP, with a discussion on geographic names as part of that, the next-generation registration directory services, which I've had some conflicting information, so I'm not sure if that one's actually a formal submission for a cross-community, the rights protection mechanism, and the empowered community session, which is for review of board changes to the ICANN bylaws. So given that this is, if all five of these, in fact, are going to be formally submitted, I should say, for cross-community topics, that would give us five slots. And so since I haven't seen any pushback on the proposals to hold these sessions, I'm wondering what the group thinks about whether these should go forward, should they not go forward. So I'm hoping there are some comments. I see Donna with her hand up. Go
Thanks,
ahead, Donna.
Tansy. Donna. Thanks, Tansy. Donna Austin. So I just have a question about how these topics so far have been submitted, because it's not obvious to me how that's come about. I know that it's obvious that I think Jeff Newman got in contact with Nick about the geographic names part, but I'm not sure how the other topics have been identified so far. So if you could just let us know what that process is, and then I might have some comments. Thanks, Tansy.
So far, we haven't actually yet.
Dan, do you want me to take that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, David.
Donna, these have not been submitted. These are proposals we've been hearing about the possibility of, and we wanted to early notify people of that potentiality and also had any confirmation of that. For example, the Empowered Community Session, we're not sure what Empowered Community Administrative Group wants to do, but there was talk that there might be something that they would want to do in Johannesburg. And so we're just putting those out as early warning, early notices to people. And obviously, anything that would be formalized would be submitted through the process that we've established. Does that answer your question, Donna?
I see Greg.
Yeah, it does. Thanks, David.
Good. Greg, you're next. Thanks, Donna. And then after that, to Johnny. After that, to Johnny.
Thanks. It's Greg Chatton for the record. I guess for the first three things that are listed here, it may be, I think, a little premature to even call them preliminary submissions. Are these intended to be face-to-face meetings of the working group, which should at least not conflict with other PDP working groups? At least these three should not conflict with each other. Or are these intended to be community sessions and not working sessions of the group? I think it's important to know which is which here in these first three. And I think, you know, we need to make it more obvious and transparent, you know, what a submission process is and when there's a submission. I think the reason there's been a lack of discussion of these on the list is that I, for one, had no idea these were kind of considered submissions. I understand they're kind of in the air, but particularly with regard to the somewhat rocky history of high-interest topic submission, I think, need to be careful about the process of submission and then of owning or not owning a topic that's been submitted. Thank you.
Uh, Thanks, Greg. I think this is really more in the notion of the concept stage. And indeed, we would want to make sure that there would be those criteria you talked about of who's organizing, how best to be organized, and the like. So thank you for that. Again, we're erring on the side of letting people know sooner rather than later of concepts that may be coming. Some of the groups may just want more working group time. Others may want that plus across community session. We're waiting to hear what they ultimately prefer and will request. With that, Tijani, you're next.
Thank you very much, Dev. Tijani speaking. I think that we have to do as we did for Helsinki. Means that those high interest topics, or those you call them cross-community topics, should be first proposed by the community also. Those are the four first that you propose, but I think that the other part of the community have other topics to propose, and each community will say if they are interested or not, which part of the community which will say if they are interested or not, and you will take, in my point of view, the session, the most popular session, the most popular topics, and organize them and program them in the schedule. Also, I think that if for one topic, if one part of the community, one constituency or one SO or AC doesn't have interest in it, they can organize their own meeting in parallel. I know that in Helsinki it was forbidden, but I think we need flexibility there, because we don't need people to be crowded in a room as it was in Helsinki. We need people who are the most interested in the session, and we need people to speak in those sessions. They are not, those sessions are not conferences, they are an interaction sessions. So we need everyone be able to speak. In Helsinki, it wasn't the case because it was very crowded. The time wasn't sufficient for people to speak, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that this time we don't have to be so rigid and say those during those sessions, no other session can be organized. If one part of the community is not interested in one topic, they can organize their own session instead. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Tanzania, do you want to comment, or should we go on to Adana's question?
Yeah, and apologies. Nick and I are both in Abu Dhabi, and we just lost connection for a couple minutes there, so I did not hear all of what Tijani had to say, although I think I heard that we should not be so harsh about having non-conflicting sessions, but I probably missed the rest of the comment. I apologize.
Tijani was making the point about some flexibility in this, and that the community would of course, express their opinions on the various sessions and go to the ones, of course, that they would find most interesting. And we will make sure we address that issue going forward. Donna, you're next.
Thanks, David. Donna Austin. So I'd just like to pull this back a little bit, and if I could put my vice chair of the DINASAC Council hat on. The focus of this meeting is supposed to be a policy forum, and in the true meaning of the word policy and a policy development process, from a DINASO perspective, we would like to see a considerable amount of time focused on the PDP working group efforts. And one of the reasons that these topics that have been identified that are on the screen now, with the exception of the Empowered Community session, is that they are existing PDPs that are currently underway under the TNSO. The PDP working group chairs have specifically requested the opportunity to have open discussions on these topics with the community. So this is in addition to sessions that they will have with the PDP working groups themselves. So if you could kind of think about it as an opportunity for a face-to-face public comment period, that's what the intent of some of these sessions are. So I'd just like to, you know, it would be great if people could keep in the back of their minds that what is behind this meeting is that it's supposed to be a policy forum, and it's only a four-day meeting, and it is intended to be concentrated on policy efforts. And in the, and I know that I, you know, people will have a different interpretation of what policy is to different people, but in the true sense of the genus bow, policy is the stuff that we do through a PDP working group. I know the CCNSO also has a few efforts that they're working through at the moment that are policy related, and the ASO may be in that bucket as well. But, you know, I really think that when we think about these sessions, particularly the cross-community discussions or high-interest topics, whatever we want to call them, it would be great if we could actually have the ability to focus some time for these PDP working group efforts to have a community consultation or discussion on topics that they are dealing with within their respective PDP working groups. So that's why these three topics are actually brought forward by the working group chairs, in addition to the geographic names that, I think geographic names is actually covered under one of them. So I just, you know, if people could kind of take a step back and think about what this meeting is supposed to be about and what the focus is supposed to be. So while something might be a high interest topic, it may not necessarily have a policy focus to it. So we don't have, this is the one meeting a year that we have the opportunity to focus on policy and make some progress. And from a GNSO perspective, we'd really like that to be the focus of this meeting. So if I have one request, it's just that we keep that in the back of our minds when we're having this discussion, that this is supposed to be a policy forum. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Donna, and thanks for that clarification on what the working group's chairs are looking for in terms of the cross-community work. Farzana, you are next. And after that, Greg Shackle.
Thank you, David. Farzana Baidi speaking. So I have a problem with the format and the title of this session, which is cross-community. Of course, we can talk about policy that is being developed at the GNSO level, which I can see all these three in the beginning, new GTLD, next generation, rights protection mechanisms, all are GNSO focused. I don't understand if we want to have an informational policy session that GNSO will present and discuss with the community, that's fine, but we are still developing policy and we have not really so there are no consensus, nothing. It's just call for conflict and controversy on the panel. Everyone is going to be unhappy, as I have received feedback from many others that hold cross-community. And it's always one group always dominates and does not collaborate and has the say to say who will be like leading or what would be the format, and it is not really cross-community. So if we want to talk about policy, of course GNSO can come and talk about policy in a GNSO session on RPM with the community. The other one that I can see that could be cross-community really is empowered community session. But I don't. I think we are facing this problem over and over, and we are not really addressing it. I faced this last time with one of the high interest sessions that we wanted to get involved with, but we weren't, and other people, and also CSG, as someone mentioned on the mailing list, we have been having trouble to have this cross-community discussions for a simple reason, because these are the policies and discussions that is very controversial. We have not much consensus over them. So how can we go and discuss them like in this format? No one wants to do that. So I just think it's futile. Thank you.
Thank you, Parsonay. Greg is next, then Tijani, and then Donna. Greg, you're next.
Hi, it's Greg Satton for the record.
Greg?
Yeah. And Donna's and Farzana's remarks were really helpful, and it kind of brings up a question to my mind. You know, my primary entree into ICANN is GTLD policy, and you know, but I think it's not clear to me whether every participant in ICANN is going to the policy forum to deal with GTLD policy, at least in part. Clearly, there needs to be ample room for those doing GTLD policy, either actively in a working group or, you know, seeking to get involved, you know, during the meeting to do so. So face-to-face working group meetings and public sessions for interaction with the community seem to make sense. Whether they need to be completely non-conflicted, I'm not entirely sure. I would assume, just going out on a limb here, that there's at least, you know, a fair amount of interest from GAC and ALAC in GTLD policy. And that if there is a kind of a GAC or ALAC user experience or track, that it shouldn't conflict with what you might call high-interest GTLD policy sessions. And I think we need to distinguish, too, between a session being put together by a working group to try to get public community input and a session that's on a topic that's not, you know, being done necessarily solely for the benefit of helping the working group along. I'm thinking, you know, particularly about the geographic names question, which may be one part of a subsequent procedures PDP public session, which would, I expect, be essentially run by the subsequent procedures PDP. But there may also be a need for a cross-community session, if you will, that's not moored to the working group itself. For geographic names. But I think the overall issue I'm kind of not quite clear on is when we talk about policy, and when Donna talks about policy, and Farzana for that matter, it's, we're essentially talking about GTLD policy. And I know that's not the only fruit in the fruit bowl here. So I guess the question is how does this meeting work for those who are not kind of coming as GNSO types? In terms of non-conflicted sessions and the emphasis on policy. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Tijani and then Donna. Excuse me. Tijani, you're next. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you very much, David. I think now I am more confused than at the beginning, because I thought those are the topic of high interest for the community that you propose or that some have proposed. Now I pay more attention that it is written PDP for each of the three first ones. I don't think that we may have a public session in which we make policy development. It will be an interaction, a forum, and you said several times this is a policy forum. Forum and not policy development. Policy development is done in a working group, in a small working group, or in a working group, not a public session, I mean. I think the confusion comes from here, and I understand very well what Dana said. And that's why I disagree with this this direction. I think that topics for high interest for everyone in the community, and this topic should be submitted by the community and perhaps by the staff also, and we see which of them has the most traction so that we may choose the most popular one and make, as we did in Helsinki. I think that Helsinki was a successful experience, and we need to learn from it. So, yes, there was a problem of crowded rooms. Yes, there was a problem of short time for everyone to speak, etc. But I think that it was a very good experience, and we have to continue to do it. But it will not be a PDP, it will not be a policy development session, because we cannot develop policy in a public session. I want also to speak a little bit about the block schedule. I think that for our case, because, for example, for Monday, we will have the opening or something like this at 8:30. So we will not be able to make the 8-9 hour. So perhaps we can start at 7:30, and I am sure that for ALAC, it will be very good to start at 7:30, better than at 8 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Donna Austin, you're next.
Yes, thanks, David, and thanks, everybody else, for your contributions. I really think we might have a disconnect here in, you know, as I said, you know, I have my GNSO Council hat on, and we have a specific meaning when we talk about policy. And we value the policy forum because it allows us time to make progress on the PDP efforts that are currently underway within, you know, under the GNSO. And Tijani, to your point, I mean, it's the PDPs, there will be working group sessions, but the working group chairs also would like the opportunity to have discussions with the broader community about, you know, some of the more trickier issues that they are dealing with within their PDP working group, and they'd like to get, you know, a sense from people from the community, but beyond the PDP working group, to have conversations on some of these topics. I mean, I would like to think that while some of these topics aren't going to be of interest to everybody, but as a community member, and given this is, you know, a PDP is the through the GNSO is the only way that you can develop consensus policy that would ultimately impact on the registries or registrars, that you might actually be interested in some of the things that is actually going on within the PDP working group, and the opportunity to come and participate in some of these open sessions might actually fuel some more interest in that, so that we could get some more participation in the PDP working group. So, you know, I'd be really interested to hear from maybe Katrina, and I noticed Mark Cavell's on the call, and potentially Felice from the ASO, to understand what other, you know, policy efforts they have going on at the moment, so that we can have, you know, that broader discussion, and that people can understand what policy efforts they have going on within their community and what they would like to see progressed at these meetings as well. You know, the idea isn't that this be captured by the GNSO, but it would be great if the community could understand that the GNSO currently has 4 PDPs that are in operation, and we'd like to use these 4 days to make some really good progress on those. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Donna, and I will surely give Katrina, Phyllis, or Mark a chance if they wish to comment about their communities and their interests in the policy forum. Phyllis, maybe would you like to start?
Sure. Thanks, Donna. Thanks, David. I hope you can hear me well.
Yes.
I think, okay, ASO may not be the best example for the level of PBP discussion that we are referring to, Donna. The for that is the real actual policy discussions that ASO is involved with do happen within our regional communities, not at the ICANN meetings or ICANN board, as you know. But what we are very much, we know that we are going to be concerned and we want to be looking into within this year, and also already we started this, and we want to utilize the time in your network for that reason too, is the actually the empowered community power session topic. We did not propose this, but I'm really happy to see that on the list. And the reason for that is, as you know, this PPWG recommendations are implemented now, and we want to understand what kind of impact does it bring to our own procedures, which you could also qualify or categorize as a policy discussion, right? Our own procedures, how we have to integrate them, put them in line with CCWG recommendations coming from the accountability results. And that needs to continue. And I really think this session is important to have for everyone to understand what these powers are, how we can have them activated, what it means once they're activated, we will be involved with, and are we ready to respond? So yeah, this is our main focus. I hear what Donna is saying. On that level, I won't comment further on. Maybe Katrina can bring the examples. But for us, the high-level interest topic here is the empowered community session and the topics that they raise, and so that we can continue with our processes to be aligned to the network.
Thanks, Phyllis. Mark, I see your hand is up. You're next, and then Katrina, if she wishes. Mark, please.
Yes, thank you, David, and hello, everybody. The first question you put was about the level of GAC interest in policy development. And I think the primary focus at the moment is on certainly on two PDP processes, the subsequent procedures one and the next generation, who is RDS. Certainly, you know, on the former, the whole of the GAC is pretty much engaged on where things stand with regard to reviewing the experience of the current GTRD round, and that means engaging with the PDP and also with the CCT review draft report. And then for the RDS, well, we've got our public safety working group looking at issues relating to that. So there's a lot of active interest in the GAC. On rights protection, there's not much interest at this time. Speaking personally, as somebody who has led for the GAC on rights protection, going back to the days of the guidebook, I think it's time for the GAC really now to get up to speed on RPMs. So I'm very much in sympathy with what Donna was saying about the Johannesburg meeting affording the opportunity for many more GAC representatives to get familiar with what's happening on the PDP front. And that, I think, will actually trigger a lot more active interest, and you'll get perhaps more participants coming from government authorities represented on the GAC, participating in the PDP working group processes. So, I'm, you know, speaking personally, I haven't discussed this with my colleagues in the GAC leadership, but personally, I feel this is an important opportunity to broadcast to the GAC, and maybe it applies to other parts of the ICANN community, what's happening on policy development, because we've been overwhelmed on other issues, post-transition and so on, let's get back to core business, if I can, and we need to catch up on several areas of policy development.
I hope that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. And now Katrina from the CCNSO point of view. Katrina.
Thank you very much, David, and thanks everyone for expressing their views today. For us at the CCNSO, we're not very obsessed with policy development, but in Copenhagen, we did start the process of policy development. And we would gladly share progress with the plan with other communities, especially because we really hope that others will join as well. We're also working on some proposals for cross-community sessions, and we also are very interested in. And everything around empowered community. Especially, we would like to have a cross-community session on rejection actions and approval actions. Of course, this is going to be really hot at some point. But as you will see in our proposal, we want to make it interesting and actually have it a scripted play when people can. All communities can participate, and actually just kind of simulate a situation when they have to reject or approve an action. I'll also have some other topics that we think would be interesting for others as well. For example. Some priorities of setting priorities for ICANN, for our operational side of ICANN, ops plan and budget. These are topics that we're discussing at the CCNSO, and soon we're going to submit some of the ideas. Thank you.
Thanks, Katrina, for some of the views of the CCNSO. Mark. Somewhat reflecting some GAC sentiments, and ASO from Phyllis. Tanzanika, would you want to make some comments at this point?
Yes. So a couple of things. First, I just want to make clear that this preliminary list that we included was not part of a formal submission process, as David mentioned. It was merely to try and keep everybody on the same page because these topics were already in discussions. We noticed them. They were mentioned at the public forum. We noticed them on the list, and so wanted to bring them to everyone's attention and see what the feedback was in terms of whether these should be included as non-conflicted topics. So with that said, we are ready to actually start with the formal process for submitting topics. We've got a form ready to go. I have the links in this document you see in front of you, but of course I will send them to the list so that you can click on them. We have a standard submission form so that everyone can submit topics and we can take it from there. From the sounds of some of the comments, I think one of the things that might be useful is to develop some criteria for the topics. To Donna's point, it is a policy forum. So it would make sense for us to develop some sort of criteria that helps to sort through the topics that are submitted and make sure that we maintain that focus. For this meeting, since that's what it's intended to be, as well as other things, of course, it's as always going to be up to this group to take a look at that criteria and agree that it makes sense. So we will try and draft something up for you all to look at and circulate that on the list. In the meantime, we will open up that forum, and then the topics will be due by the 13th. And I'm just going to scroll to the dates. So the dates you see in front of you are what we have. I hope that provides sufficient time for everyone. And that would include any of these preliminary topics that we've listed, of course, would need to be formally submitted to be part of the submission. So if we can get all of those in and try and at the same time develop some criteria, I think we can bring this group back together and see where we are in terms of which topics. It sounds to me, I have to say, because I've seen a lot of comments about not wanting to have 8 non-conflicted blocks of time, but it sounds like there are a lot of topics that are really important to cover. So I also would ask that you all sort of think about whether 8 is a good idea for this meeting or not, just so that there's at least some sort of agreement there in how many topics are actually going to get covered and also how many need to be fully non-conflicted. So we will give you everything you need to submit that information starting after the end of this call, and hopefully we can move forward on which ones fit into this meeting after that.
Thank you, Tanzanika. Donna, Austin, your hand is up. Donna, please.
Thanks, David. Donna Austin. So, Tanzia, I think it's a good idea to, you know, identify some criteria around the policy forum and for any, you know, ideas around a cross-community discussion or high-interest topic. I wouldn't like us to focus too much at the moment on how many of these sessions we should hold in Johannesburg. I think it would be more valuable if we could see the topics and understand why they're being requested first before we actually get into, you know, arbitrarily saying, well, we only think 3 is warranted this time. So I think it might be helpful to understand what the topics are before we have that discussion. I'd also like to go, you know, just one step further with this and understand that we also, in addition to the Johannesburg meeting, there will be another meeting in Abu Dhabi, I think at the end of October. So in our thinking about, you know, what we want to put, what we agreed to for the Johannesburg meeting, if there are other topics which we think would be valuable for a cross-community discussion, but, you know, perhaps it's not necessary to have that discussion now in that it's not urgent, but we do agree that there will be some value in it, could we drop that back to the Abu Dhabi meeting and just keep that as a placeholder when we get to the planning for that meeting? So, you know, just another idea that we can potentially throw out there. Thanks, Tandy.
Thanks very much, Donna. Greg, and then we will close the queue. And Phyllis. And then Phyllis. Greg.
Thanks, Greg Chatton, for the record. I think we need to have a more formal submission process, and the 4 things that were listed here should get no pride of place in determining what might be a cross-community topic and a policy topic. That said, clearly the work of the 3 PDPs listed there, both internal face-to-face work and interacting with the community in public session are critical aspects of the policy forum. So I'm not demeaning those, but rather saying that we haven't really had a process, so closing the queue before we've opened the queue would be a really bad idea. So the fact that we have 4 topics, I wouldn't even say we have 4 topics. We have no topics. We have a list that's been started informally. And then we need to get some real submissions and put them through a process of review. And I would distinguish between, if you will, policy development topics that are driven by working groups and more broad topics, conceivably like another session on the GDPR data protection issue, which may or may not be driven by, you know, one working group, but really is a broad concern, even if it, you know, fits particularly into the next gen RDS. It's a concern that goes way beyond the work of just that group. So I think we watch out that this, that we don't believe we have a process where we don't, because we don't right now have a process in full force for dealing with cross-community or high-interest or quasi-cross-community topics. Or if we have that process, we haven't really initiated it. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. And we will, of course, require and ask that the official sponsors or owners of the proposals be the ones to formally submit and then proceed from there. Thank you. Phyllis, and quickly.
Thank you. Well, the more I hear and the more we talk about this, it brings me back why we have this distinction between meeting styles, okay? And I think the main problem here, we wanted to wanted one meeting in ICANN, one of the ICANN meetings to be short enough where groups can focus on policy issues. But then outreach was added to that. And outreach and policy together in this format are contradictory. We, for example, as ASO, we do not have a policy matter to discuss at an ICANN meeting in this format. But if you attach the outreach bit to the entire ICANN meeting, then we get interested too, because we do not want to miss that opportunity of interacting with the other parts of ICANN constituencies. So this is where I think we have an issue here, because we are trying to mix and match two things where they cannot be mixed and matched easily. One is quite policy work, isolated, sit down within your group and work towards a policy development process, which Donna is coming from, where I can understand why she is supporting that, because this meeting was supposed to be like that. But then we added the outreach on it. Now everybody wants to go to this ICANN meeting. As far as I'm concerned, if empowered community power will be guaranteed to be addressed in Abu Dhabi, my group will most probably not have any reason other than they have individual reasons because they are part of other constituencies. We will not need to address anything in terms of this project. We may come to the meeting, but as ASO, we will not be overwhelmingly requesting certain things towards the agenda. And then I can see why Donna would like to use the time, unrestricted time, for her, not her, but for her group policy development issues. So I think this is where we have a problem. Maybe this meeting, which is originating me, is not suited for all ICANN groups to be present at that meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Phyllis. And last speaker will be Tijani, and then Tantanik and others will respond. Tijani, please.
Thank you very much, David. I would like also only to say that I agree with what Greg said. I put a green tick when he spoke, but I want to be sure that you heard me. I support what he said. And the last word, I think that the sessions we are talking about, the high interest session or cross community sessions, they are sessions for discussion, not for developing policies. Perhaps the working group that develop policies wants to have interaction with the community, and this is not a policy development session. They are a discussion or interaction or forum about policy development. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Tanzania, and then we'll turn to Pierre. Tanzania.
Yes, just one quick final comment, and that's that
when I send out the form and you all see what the different areas that you'll fill in for the topics are, please don't hesitate to let me know if you want more information on a topic. In other words, if we're not asking the right questions to get the information you need to decide whether a topic is something that you want to have happen at the meeting, please let me know right away so that we can incorporate that into the current form. And we'll take it from there. Thanks, David.
Thank you. You'll have those links to those forms, and we will be in constant contact with you with that information. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Pierre Dangenot, our Vice President for Africa, to talk a little bit about outreach. Pierre, please. Pierre, please. We will try to connect Pierre in the Adobe. Pierre, would you want to say a few words?
I'm texting to Pierre, and I'm trying
I think he's on now, Nick.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, please speak up. Yes.
Oh, so I'm so sorry. Yes, thank David. In fact, I was saying that as far as the outreach activities are concerned, I've been contacted by two or three groups. One of them is the NCUC that will be using their crowdfunding to do a standalone event a day or two before ICANN 59. I think they are actually discussing with local folks to make sure it will hire venue and for the organization. But we also know that ALAC is also planning two or three training of capacity building sessions. And I guess we've already earmarked it 8 to, I think, 9. I don't have details so far, but I know that they are planning that activity. NPOC also is planning to look at the main alliance with local NGO and to gather a number of non-for-profit to explain why the business matters. So these are kind of, you know, requests we are having, but yes, we need more details on those. But of course, with Janet also, we are having newcomers, most of them coming from the region. There will be certainly some outreach, you know, activities, especially from 8 to 9. So nothing really, I mean, definitely yet, but a few ideas, for instance, on the business side as well. I know that the chair of the e-commerce association of South Africa, now with Deloitte, Dover, we're planning something there, but I need to hear more from Chris about that one. So this is basically what I know so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Pierre. It's Nick. Pierre, we had a little trouble hearing you. I don't know if everyone else on the call had the same issues that we did, but can we ask you to send an email with your comments and a short briefing of what you've said so that we can add it to the transcript so we've captured your remarks appropriately?
Okay, I will do that.
Thank you, Pierre.
Great. Thanks. Thanks, Nick and Pierre. This concludes the call. I would just like to remind people that our next call is on the 18th of April at 1400 UTC. We will be sending, obviously, a notice to you with some other information as well as a calendar invite. So with that, we want to thank you all for your comments, remarks, and suggestions as we move forward on our planning for ICANN 59 in Johannesburg. With that, I want to wish everyone a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be, and thank you again for your time and participation.
Thank you. Bye-bye.